Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we're going to talk more about resolutions, the last group, and who is here.
Kristen Lindsay.
And Mike Failauer.
And we are in Josh's office.
That's true.
I feel like I should specify, this is like a location recording.
We're in a different
venue. We're not in our
trying something new, seeing what it sounds like.
He has a very nice couch, which we were commenting that has actually been relocated several times around the office, and I didn't know that it had ended up here.
Makes sense,
but
though.
Now Josh stole this nice white couch.
Well, stole is a very strong word.
I didn't steal it. I wanted my couch. I had liked my couch, but, you know, I had to use that one.
You had to use this one because this one fit. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with everybody. We're in Josh's lovely
Admiring
office.
Admiring the lovely view.
We are, yeah. He's got a south-facing view. It's a beautiful day.
A little snatch of river.
There's people walking on the path over there. Mm-hmm. It's bucolic.
Yeah.
God, beautiful, it's a gorgeous day out there today.
I know. Why are we in here? Can we go record outside?
How long are these cords?
can we go
well,
sit
out
in the
sun? Technically, this is mobile, so we could.
Hey, all right.
We'll just stroll down the walkway.
All we got to do is find a power plug. That's it.
Darn. Always a loophole. No, all okay. Right. What are we actually supposed to be talking about?
Your resolution. Do you remember yours from last year?
No.
My resolution hasn't changed. I've had the same resolution for like the last 2 years.
Does that mean you're not completing it?
No, it's ongoing.
Maybe it's so good
my resolution was to go to more cons.
Nope.
It wasn't? Yes, nope. It was.
That was, yeah, but that one doesn't, as you said, that's an ongoing
one. You
had some more static ones.
There's a post-it. Resolution?
Yeah.
To take over the world.
Nope.
That would be very un-Canadian of me. What did I say?
You said make the time to watch Torchwood.
Oh, and I did.
Hey.
I did watch Torchwood. It was so long ago.
I'd forgotten that.
And so more,
which I did not do.
Oh.
I did sew a bit more, but that one dropped
still,
off.
Still, 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's just about half of
I got pretty
resolutions.
Good. I did actually watch Torchwood, and I enjoyed it immensely. What about Mike?
I'm curious.
Mike had, which was kind of an easy one because he was going to do it no matter what, which is complete his man cave.
Almost.
Almost.
Almost. I'm still waiting on the secret door. It turns out those are not available off the internet. I mean, you can buy secret doors off the internet, but they're pretty shitty. However, I did just meet, let's see, last week with my primary contractor guy, and we came up with a pretty cool idea on how to implement it.
Is it a secret, or can you tell us?
I suppose. I mean, you still have to search for it, right? So we're going to do it on a... you guys have seen barn doors, right? The metal rail and the slider and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to construct it where the rail system is concealed by a valance, so it just looks like a shelf. And I'll put some like helmets or bracers or something up there, and the actual bookcase will be mounted on the barn door and then stabilized with runners on the ground. So it'll, instead of being the kind of secret door that swings out and then, you know, intrudes upon the space,
right,
either inside the room or out into the passage, it'll just slide along the wall. Oh. Yeah, so it's not as the key was to make it not impede the path from the cave to the, you know, the outside to the rest of the basement. And so you might be thinking, okay, well, that's, the valance is of course much wider than the door. Like, isn't that strange to have that sort of void and next to it, right? It'll kind of look like a Tetris cube,
right?
A big upside down L. And the genius solution come up not from me but from the contractor was to get a similar sort of presence piece of art there, so flat, right?
Okay.
Even inset into the wall a little bit,
right? So that would explain why there's that space.
It'll fill it visually, so it'll be like, okay, this is cool. L, it sort of forms almost a feature framing,
right,
of this
piece of art.
And then the bookcase will slide right over it.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was clever as hell.
Huh.
Yeah.
Those crafty contractors.
Yeah, and whether or not it's going to be art or whatever, we could also just do it as a whiteboard. Surface material, and then the kids can draw on it.
Right, that's a good idea.
A little bit simpler, and easier to repair.
I feel like at this moment I should share with everybody that I still have drywall I haven't even painted yet in my house, and I've been there for 8 years.
In so your house or like it. In your garage?
No, no. Oh, no. No, no. In my front hall, my friend. Yeah. Like, like, I'm just, I feel very...
Well, life happens, though.
I feel very very behind the ball here right now with your glorious man cave, which
always
is
something,
so
though.
Cool.
It is cool.
And has everything that we all wish we could have in our homes. And I can barely get my shit together to paint.
If you
the
have a year
fact,
of your life and a sturdy shovel and a strong back,
exactly.
You too can
dig
out 40 tons of dirt.
Your basement for this.
Bucket
you
by
literally
bucket.
You had to excavate
weekend by weekend
and create everybody's dream space in your basement. And you have done it.
I did.
Essentially.
I did
and
do it. I was there this morning for an undisclosed reason, which, depending on when this. No, actually, it'll still be secret.
Yeah,
by the time
this comes
out.
Can't talk about the questions.
But man, I'm really excited that I did all that effort.
Man, I suck.
And then mine.
You do not suck.
What was yours?
You actually
mine
completed your resolution. I did not.
Well, one of them.
One of them. I completed one of my resolutions. I watched Torchwood.
Not
like,
the sewing one.
Well, go me.
On,
I fucking sat down and watched.
Half is better than zero.
Like three series of a television show. I deserve a medal.
Mine was Write a Song a Month, which I did. Zero of. I completely failed.
Josh.
Well,
you
I
didn't
was
even
kinda,
get one out?
I was, no. No. I got about like 3 months into it because the first 3 months of last year were like super busy.
And that's true.
And I was like, I'm just going to catch up after this and I'll make up for it. It'll be fine. No.
No.
No. I was like, no, this is not going to work. I'm never going to catch up. Fuck it.
Fuck that resolution. That resolution was dumb.
No.
Zero songs.
That I could do
so
that.
You managed to create 0 out of 12 songs.
Yes.
That you had promised to yourself.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I worked on some stuff a little bit, but I wouldn't call anything a finished song.
Was that your only resolution?
I think so.
Wow.
There's no way to tell.
He's not gonna share it with us.
Who knows?
And are we
pretty
so,
sure that was it? That was a pretty good one. It's difficult enough.
So you didn't carry that one over to this year, clearly.
No, I'm going to alter it because I don't think that's super feasible for me right now. So my new one for this year is work on music for at least 30 minutes a week.
That's a nice adaptation. I think that fits with your lifestyle better now.
At least I will be doing something.
Well, it's so vague, though. I mean,
yeah,
exactly.
Like that,
could, be
that
like,
could be like, you
I'm
know,
listening to this new artist. That's working on music.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, you know, it has. No, I wouldn't call it working on music. It has to be like at least practicing an instrument or something.
Oh, okay.
At the very least, it would be playing guitar or something, right?
I thought you were going to say not write a song a month.
Your new resolution
no,
is to not
no,
write
you can't.
Song.
That doesn't count. I already talked to Dave about this on his. You can't say you're not going to do something.
You can't.
As your resolution, unless it's something that you want to do
like
and are giving up
something.
Yeah,
or
something. Or like
not eating meat.
You know, yeah.
You could totally have a mega resolution.
Yeah, but you can't not do something that you weren't doing anyways. That doesn't count.
That's fair enough, man. I'm disappointed that I dropped the ball on the sewing one now, too, because I've got so much stuff I could have sewed.
I could come back for 16.
I could come
16.
Back. No, yeah. I don't have... No, there's... I don't know, man. This 4 packs is a year bullshit has kind of cut into things like sewing time. And, you know... Oh, those little people that live in my house that want my attention all the time.
Yeah.
They take a lot of
attention.
The young
ones. Yeah.
We should do, like, some kind of, like, advice or, like, real-life experiences product for... the audience that also has parents or are contemplating becoming parents
our advice of what you're going to do with none of the free time that you'll then have.
Negatime.
With your negatime, you too cannot keep your New Year's resolutions.
Well, that's kind of the irony of the cave, right? Is that it's this awesome game lair with the HD projector and the hidden drop down screen and the surround sound, the brand new computer and all this stuff. I am never
you're
in there.
Never going to
never
use
in there.
It.
I went down and I shot, 3 racks of pool, and it was like the first time I picked up a stick in, no joke, 14 months.
Yeah.
It's just like, man. But, you know.
Well, that's
do you at least like sit down there sometimes? You're just like, no? Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Hmm. I game down there. I had a D&D group meets nowadays about every other week if we're lucky. Usually once a month, not the way things have been working out with the PAXes.
Right, yeah.
Now that that crunch is over, hopefully that'll get back on a regular schedule. But that's cool. Like, when it's me and my buddies all sitting around, the lights are all right where I want them.
Yeah.
In the cave, and that is admittedly pretty great. But like I said, once every 2 weeks most.
Yeah. For my birthday last year, which was in October, Carrie got me all the new D&D books and a D&D module.
Yes. And which module?
I don't know, because he's been running it. So,
oh, got
yeah,
it.
We don't know the ending yet. I don't know which one it is.
Cool.
His plan was that we would do it with the kids.
Oh, so God, that's the dream.
So it's totally the dream. It's totally the dream. So I've got Dahlia is like an elf wizard.
That's the classic.
It's totally the classic. And Sagan is just like your standard fighter, and Cass is playing a ranger. And it's this hilarious. We started out by playing probably like once a week, but it's dropped off now because the boys have sort of lost interest in it, unfortunately. But they basically just want to LARP. Is essentially what happens. So they would get it would be really, we were imposing rules on them that they simply did not want to follow, because you know, the 5-year-old is a fighter, and so he picks up whichever toy weapon of his that he can find, and he'll be like, and I do this, and he'll do this complicated series of some sort of martial presentation for us, and Carrie's very closely trying to analyze it, trying to figure, like, you know,
how you dropped your shield.
What's he actually trying to do, and can he successfully roll to complete that maneuver? And you know, so then we'd be like, okay, you hit the orc, but then something else happens, and Sagan would be like, yeah, that's not cool. I hit his head and it went flying. And Carrie's like, well, actually, no, he's still alive. And the rules were not.
The dice don't lie.
The dice don't lie, but he wasn't down with that. So
yeah, I've been.
I think he, at five was, I think, a little young to.
When's first grade? I should know this.
It was six.
Know.
Six. Because he's in kindergarten now.
Yeah. I think first is probably the lowest reasonable threshold. Like, I'm with Lando, he's 2.5 now, and I was just starting to introduce him to the concept of turn-based gaming.
Right.
Right? You go, I go. When I go, you're not going, right? When you go, you've got all the attention.
And yes.
Just trying to instill, like, even the basics. Because when I was growing up, like, we all played Clue and Monopoly and, like, all these
right.
oh, yeah.
simple, dumb games, but you had a turn, you know, and that meant something, right? And I'm trying to instill these basic concepts. And of course, now I'm starting to work on like a super duper crazy distilled version of D&D.
Yeah.
Right. Where
it's
parents
actually,
can play it with their kids.
It's really fascinating to see kind of, because there are certain realities that you and I will pick up on when a DM is running a game, or that kids just don't get. No knowledge of tropes, right?
You see a statue.
Like,
I'm sure it's harmless.
Exactly, I'm sure it's harmless. When the GM is like, make a perception check. Like, nothing could possibly be wrong, right? So and the boys just don't get those things. So
that's how you learn, though.
They're really... It's
need a few statues to tear your arm off.
It's just like, you know, there's a body in the middle of the road. Do you want to go and examine him, or do you bring your weapon with you? And Sagan will be like, no, I'll just go poke him with a stick. You know, are you sure you want to do that? Yes. Okay.
Right.
So we fall into these.
But if I've learned anything from watching Westerns, there are those people, if you say, oh, guard, he's sick.
Yeah.
That guy will open that cage.
My 5-year-old son is the one who will, in fact, open the cage or poke the bear or blissfully traipse down the darkened hallway,
sure.
Which is probably trapped, but because all of us had to do perception checks. But
the treasure
no.
is right there.
No, no.
Just pick it up.
And like he can make a perception roll and still choose to ignore the data that he has gleaned from this. And you know, you gotta just let him own that. You gotta
That's how you learn.
We're like, okay, son, you can go right ahead.
I got a buddy.
You're pretty sure that's a big pit full of stakes, but if you want to go jump into
you
it.
You find out what happens.
You can go down there, buddy. It's all you.
Like my buddy it. Parents that way. Like, yeah. He'll see his daughter will be sort of like running along the back of the couch or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, dude, you know, she's going to fall. He's like, nah, that's how she learns.
how she learns.
I got carpet.
Yeah, it'll all be fine.
It's not wrong.
Probably not going to critically wound themselves.
It's just a little more reasonable when it's an imaginary character. But yeah, that's sort of the goal of this.
Teachable moments by Penny Arcade.
It's true, though. Like, Jerry's often said that games are our parables, right? And the shared experiences and all that good stuff is certainly true. But it's also true that it's how you learn, well, it can be how you learn values, too, right? And so that's sort of the direction I'm going with this super basic distilled D&D is not just mechanically, you know, not just simplifying it to a state where first graders can understand it, but also teaches things like, you know, planning ahead your character progression and consequences of actions and all that good stuff. Like it's some pretty grandiose goals.
That's something we talk
game.
About a lot through Child's Play is the value of games. Like if you take a look at what gaming teaches or what is the, you know, what are the use, what use is a game?
Yeah,
if
help you're not others, looking conserve at it, your resources. Just,
well, I mean, there's lots of things. Time management, goal setting, literacy, numeracy, statistics, you know, like all of these really valuable
right demon
life
summoning
skills.
Don't forget that one.
You know, like demon summoning, that's up there. There's tons
true
of
names
things.
Of many of the ancient
ton
ones.
Things, you know, failing at a task.
Right.
You know, taking risks, succeeding at a task, working together in a group, cooperative, you know, progression on something. There's
conflict
lots there.
Too.
Yeah.
How to win.
There's lots of cool things like that that games teach.
Yeah, this is, well, this, it's a total hobby, but the goal of that would be to overtly kind of address those things and sort of market it to parents. It's like, hey, you're a gamer. Gaming is important to you. Here's how to hook your kid
here
on gaming.
And
by
the
way, it'll make your kid smarter,
by
too.
By the way.
Right? It'll justify the expense of picking up yet another thing.
Getting another module. Or
well, I mean, look at those, like, goddamn little Einsteins or whatever it is, right? Like, put on this DVD, it'll make your kid smart. No.
Oh, baby Einsteins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but people bought them. People bought them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if it actually did and you actually spent time with your kid doing it necessarily.
Don't be ridiculous. Time with your kid?
Oh, I just can't wait. A buddy of mine, he tweeted his, or Facebooked, whatever, a photo of a character sheet of an elf wizard of his stepdaughter.
Standard.
And the only caption was, oh my God, it's happening. And it was the first game that he was running for her in her first ever time picking up some dice. And I'm so looking forward
how
to that.
How old
moment.
Is his stepdaughter?
She is 9.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's a good age.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. My, see, because it's my teenager who's playing the elf wizard in our group. So we've got a very sort of apathetic teenage elf wizard.
Perfect.
who I actually seems to be playing pretty well to pretty well
from
to type.
The Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, exactly. So that seems to be working out. And the completely clueless fighter in the party and the stoic 9-year-old boy archer.
It sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, it's working out pretty well for us. So I hope it's dropped off a bit because everybody was just really busy and the boys were easily distracted. But I feel like the second wind has come. And Dahlia mentioned it the other day. She's like, "Are we ever going to finish that?"
Nice.
Everybody's eyes sort of perked up. So I think we'll have to finish that module and see what's next.
Oh, that's so great.
And maybe we'll just come and move into your man cave.
Yeah, sure.
While we do it.
Why not?
Everyone can.
More the merrier.
Go check it out.
That's my resolution, Josh. I'm going to double down on teaching Lando some basic game elements, concepts.
Okay. Anything else?
That's pretty much.
All right.
Yeah.
How about you, Kristen?
My ongoing resolution to go to lots of cons is still in effect. I enjoy that. I enjoy seeing how they operate, how they work, and what people get out of them, and what I can adopt from how other people run them to make PAX better. And what else? What's one that I could actually possibly conceivably complete? Maybe I'll paint that drywall.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't going to mention it, but...
Yeah, let's go with that. I'm going to paint my naked drywall ceiling in my front hall.
Give the kids a can of paint.
Yeah, that's exactly what could possibly go wrong.
It'll be better than naked drywall.
Possibly go wrong there. Naked drywall ceiling, that is going down. I'm going to definitely finish that off in 2016. Count on it.
How long has it been like that?
8 years.
Wow.
What happened?
So was life there some damage? Happened.
And you patched
life
it?
Life happened. It's a it no it just we took down a wall.
Okay.
When we moved in, into the new house, we had to take down a wall in order to put a staircase to the downstairs in.
Ooh,
and
cool.
the where we built a stairwell, essentially, the ceiling of the stairwell had to be drywalled. So there's it's like a third of the total ceiling space in my front hall, which used to be closed in and is now open. So the fresh drywall area for where the new ceiling went in never got painted. It's like, you know, man, it's white, you know, white drywall, white ceiling. No one will really
notice.
Did you
do the drywall yourself?
So really, you got to popcorn it, not paint it. Or whatever your ceiling is.
No, the ceiling is just white paint. Like, it's not a popcorn ceiling. Oh. It's a drywall ceiling already. So I've got like this big rectangle of unpainted drywall in a white painted drywall ceiling. So it's off color. Like, you can look at it and go, oh, that's not white. It's drywall. But I figure whoever really kind of looks, who looks up? No, no one ever looks up.
That is true.
It's, you know, it's just there. Being discolored and not painted. I should get on that.
For now. Its days are numbered, though.
That's true. It's going down this year, for sure. Maybe I'll make the teenager do it.
Yeah, there you go. It's a life lesson.
Here's how to paint. Here you are. Level up, paint my ceiling. I'll pay you $20 to paint my ceiling.
That's not bad. It doesn't sound like it's a large spot.
No, it's not huge. It's like the ceiling above a stairwell.
Yeah, right, if the rest of the paint's that old, you
gotta... Oh, it's the whole thing will have to be repainted.
Yeah, you gotta do
for
the whole
sure.
thing.
That
and
sucks.
It's gonna have to be cleaned first. Like it's been 8 years of people living in it, so it probably needs to be TSP'd or whatever that that wall cleaner is first, and then painted. But yeah, I'm gonna do it this year. Guaranteed.
Yeah, painting ceiling sucks.
It does.
It is very painful on the shoulders.
Yeah.
And everything else.
That's one of the first things that Darlin and I did after moving in together was repaint my house, actually. Because I don't know if you were ever at the Ballard house, but the really peaked
roof. Yeah, yeah.
And they're one of those parties, and like the sticks and the rollers and all that stuff.
Ugh.
It's fun though.
Do you want to?
It's like, wow. It's, she's a
I have
tough
a
worker.
Terrible confession. So when we moved into this new house, my PAX PA came and painted it.
Well,
I mean, okay. To be fair, he came and helped paint it.
Yeah,
we had a painting party. But basically,
that's
my
just friends
my,
helping friends. That's
my
there's
personal
nothing weird about that.
Corey. My long-suffering personal assistant came and painted like three rooms.
Wait, is that why
house.
He left the show?
And that's why he quit. No, it's been a full year now that he retired. I'm very sad. I miss him.
Yeah.
But yes, he was my PA for almost 10 years. No, more than 10 years. 10 years. 10 years as my assistant. And I made him paint my house. And then he left.
He volunteered.
He did. And Corey, you're the best. Thank you for helping me paint my house, except for that spot of drywall that we didn't paint. But yeah, good times. Good times there.
It's going to be a good year.
It is. It's going to be a pretty sweet year.
It's going to be a really crazy, amazing year.
We can't talk about any of the cool secrets.
I know.
No.
We've got a lot of really cool secrets.
God, it's so awesome.
So hard to not talk about all the cool secrets. But
that's the worst. We should cut that part out.
There are announcements that will come. We didn't say anything.
I know, but just like the, you know.
Yeah, we've done that many times, you know.
Okay.
They can look forward to it.
That's right. Everybody.
You'll be the first to know anyway.
You will be the first to know. We can't tell you, but you'll be the first to know.
2016 is going to be rad.
Best year ever.
If you guys have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@petty-rk.com. Bye.